I done cranked up and was fixing to leave. And the Lord is the same, Brother Dennis. He's the same. He's the same in your heart. You can tell He's the same. I know that God does want to help the people and does want to bless the people. I know that He does. I come back in here because when I left, I didn't leave to bring wrath on the people. That wasn't my heart. That wasn't my mind. But I did fear. And I think God gave me an opportunity to hear Brother Andrews. I had been real desirous to hear him. When he got up here, it gave me a chance, Brother Denny, to hear him. Sounds like a young man that's full of understanding. I told my wife that he sounds to me like he's full of understanding. As a matter of fact, when I looked at this tent tonight, I was hoping I'd be able to help him get a tent. And when he got up and said something about it, the wind blow this one away, I'd have to get him one. That kind of put me on the spot. But anyway, don't you admire somebody that'll go on with the tents in this kind of condition? I tell you what, I admire somebody that'll do that. And I believe that if Brother Andrews will pray and ask God to help him, I believe he'll help him. And I know that if there's any way that we can help him, I know that we're going to try to help him. There's nothing I'd like better than to help somebody that's willing to go, willing to sacrifice, has got a perseverance, and got understanding. You know, they had some qualifications, Brother Dennis. One of them is they couldn't be a novice, you know. And another one, they had to have wisdom. Another one, they had to be full of the Spirit. And I just thank God tonight for His blessings. Thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here with you. And I don't hardly know where to start in the middle of a service. Seem like I've done waited too long here, really, to talk with you. But maybe I'll say a few words anyway to let you know that I love you and appreciate you, and certainly appreciate your attitude. Are you glad that you're here tonight? There is something, folks, that's about to happen. Truthfully, the brother tonight, Paul said that you constrained me, and really you did tonight. But there is something that's about to happen, and I believe that our brethren are aware of that. I could tell the way that Brother Andrews talked that he was aware that something was about to take place. And I know in my heart something's about to take place. I could tell that Brother Dennis here is also aware of the fact that something is about to take place. I tell you what I will do. Since we've kind of moved into a position here tonight, Denny, that the people have become real sober-minded, maybe we'll just talk and just drop a few thoughts instead of trying to preach to you. You know, most of the time when you come in, you go to preach, the last night I preached to you. But you go to preach, you know, the people are not sober-minded enough to talk to them about the conditions of things and about the revelation of Jesus. So what you do, you just preach to them some and just move on. But tonight, since everybody kind of simmered down and got, you know, sober-minded, maybe we'll talk just a few minutes about some revelation. Just drop in a thought or two tonight and make a few comparisons and let you look at the situation. Would you like to do that? Kind of like the teaching Sunday school sometimes. Some of my people here, they're accustomed to this kind of thing. And the things that I say tonight, some of these things, maybe most of them, they might be acquainted with. But some of you maybe have never heard them. But it might make you stop and think and consider that we are farther along than maybe you thought we were. Praise God. I wonder if I could turn that mic up as far as you could get it without whistling so I could save my throat a little bit. I'll tell you what we'll do. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Revelation 12. I want to just read just a little bit here. I love the black people because I love all of God's people. To me, I'm like Brother Andrews. I've never met a black man. I've never met a white man. I've never met a yellow man. I've just met people. So to me, I think one of the most foolish things that ever happened to mankind is when they made a difference between the human race because of color. I think that's the most foolish thing that I ever heard of. I've often made the statement, God said that we're God's building. Is that right? And if I build me a house, if I want to paint the shingles blue and the foundation red and the top pink, that's my business. If God built him a building and he wanted to paint one of it one color and one of another color, another color, I think that's his business, don't you? So I thank God for it.
You say, well, which color do you like the best? I like them better when they're together. They're prettier. To me, they're prettier. That's right. Amen. I remember when I was over in the state of Nebraska many years ago, in that area, there wasn't any black men in that area, right where we was at. It was a hard state. And I was from the south, and I was raised up to where we had black men that worked on the farm, and I pulled corn with them, you know, and we eat together, and we fellowship together, going swimming hole together, you know, and when I got off up there, I felt plumb lost. And I remember when I finished my mission and come back down the road, I got hundreds of miles out of Nebraska, and I got down the road, and I looked over to the right, and there sat a little black boy, and his face was buried in a watermelon. And boy, I tell you, I just felt like having a spell. That's right. You can't imagine what that done to me. I thought, God, this world just wouldn't be the same place if he wasn't here. It just wouldn't. So I just thank God for him. I just praise God for him. We go down into Mexico, and I see the poverty down there, you know. And my wife, she's always been the kind of person, she likes to give. And I've seen her get, you know, $50 worth of nickels and dimes and quarters and just go down the road and hand them out. Just hand them out. And I've seen so many children following my cars and some grown-ups, too, till I'd get afraid I was going to run over somehow. I couldn't hardly get away from them. You're talking about a congregation. But, I mean, you can really get one when you start passing out money. And they, you know, they're deep in poverty and really in need. And it just, my heart just bled because of the need there. And I've seen Betty cry so many times trying to do something for them. But anyway, I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate every one of you. And I trust that we see the day that we all can live together and love one another. And there will come that day. We're heading for the day, Ed, when we're going to see that. The day of the Lord. The Bible calls it the day of the Lord, the millennium. We're going to have a day when we can live together and love one another. And Jesus is going to be there ruling over us. And he won't have no respect to person. One thing about Jesus, he won't be like some of the mayors and some of the governors and presidents and kings we got. When he sits on the throne and he sees Brother Dennis, that'll be one of his youngins. Amen. He sees Brother Pike, it'll be another one of his youngins. He'll love every one of us just alike. That's right, because he made us what we are. And he knows how to appreciate us. So I'm looking forward to that day. Praise God. Let me get another swallow of water. Are you willing for me to just talk with you just a little bit and say it? All right. Here in the book of Revelation, let's just read now and let me just discuss things with you, just talk with you as a brother. You know, Jesus, sometimes he would take the people, get them in a congregation, maybe just get in a little boat and just kind of shove out from the land, you know, and just sit there and talk with them. Maybe sit down on a hillside. And while they broke bread and eat, he just sat there and talked with them, you know. And so then, I'm not going to sit down, but let me talk with you while you sit down. Now, here in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to read this, and I want you to listen real close now and see if what I'm telling you makes sense. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not, neither was that place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole earth. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not the lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished, for times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth hid the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's reading the whole 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now I want to mention some things to you tonight, and I want you to consider the things that I'm saying. I tell you the truth, Paul said, I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have received enough revelation on this one chapter alone to write a book, and then couldn't get it all in there. So tonight I'm not going to attempt to try to explain to you. I'm just going to try to drop a few words tonight concerning the revelation of chapter 12. Will you listen? All right, let me give you just another swallow of water. Now the devil has really worked on my throat. I had him to try to completely close it up on me, and I've refused so far to let him do it. I've fought him, and of course he fights back. That's why the Bible said there was war in heaven. He'll fight you back. How many of you know that? Don't ever pick a fight with the devil unless you're going to fight him, because he'll fight you back. How many of you know that Paul had a great mystery? And that mystery is that we shall not all sleep, that is, die, but we shall be translated or be changed. Now, I want you to listen just a minute before I get into this 12th chapter of Revelation. Did you know that whereas in days gone by, our grandmothers, our granddaddies, they could get by with what they knew. They didn't have to listen too well because too much wasn't known. And the Bible said, where there's much given, much is required. We know a lot today. Our little children know more today than grandmother knew. Is that right? More than granddaddy knew. We know a lot today, folks. Therefore, God is going to expect a lot out of us. Now, that's the truth. So then, we've got to come up with a good report. And that report has got to be by faith in God. It's got to be that way. And the only way that you can have that kind of report is to hear something from the ministry. All right, now, let me say that again. You've got to be able to hear something. Thank you. That just makes me feel like I'm out of prison. You've got to be able to hear something. I want to repeat that because it's so important. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Is that right? So then, we've got to be able and to hear something. Everybody can't hear. The Bible said, let him that hath an ear to hear, hear. Not everybody can hear. Jesus said, having ears you don't hear. But some people have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And tonight, that's the kind of ear I want. The kind that can hear what the Spirit says. So then, if Enoch was translated by faith, then the thing that we've got to do is be translated by faith. Is that right? All right? To be translated by faith, then we've got to have something that faith will come from. Now you say, I believe, Brother Pike, but that isn't good enough. I want you to listen. You say, I go to the Baptist church and I believe, but that's not good enough. Well, you say, I belong to the Methodist church, but that's not good enough. Well, you say, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, but that's not good enough. I belong to the Pentecostal, but that's not good enough. That's not good enough. The Bible said, if you've got an ear, then you can hear what the Spirit says to the church. Is that right? Praise God. You said, hey, Brother Pike, you don't have to holler at me. I'm right here. But if I holler, they might hear me out, children. I noticed tonight when I come in, I noticed we had some people out here at this apartment hanging over the balcony there last week. So you got listeners that you don't know about. All right, now, Enoch was translated by faith. Are you listening now? Why was Enoch translated by faith? How did he ever do it? There was a way. The Bible said the scriptures appeared unto Abraham, even before the scribes ever got down and started scribbling. God was still here. In the beginning, God was here. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost when I say that. You know what? God's here tonight. I feel God right here tonight. Amen. I said I want to talk with you. I wasn't going to preach now. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? That makes you want to kick up some sawdust if you had any in here to kick up. Now, Enoch heard something. And what he heard, Brother Ron, he believed. He believed in what he heard. Something came to him, and he heard it, and he believed it. And because he believed it, something happened to the man. And the Bible said God took him away. He left here. That's the secret that Paul was talking about. That's that great mystery. Paul said something happened to Enoch. That's the mystery. They didn't have to have his funeral. Somebody said, I'm worried about the preacher's going to preach my funeral. I ain't planning for one to preach mine. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know we got the medical profession all over the world. And they've tried for many hundreds of years to try to learn how to get around death. They haven't done it yet. But I learned how. I found out how. I found, you know what? It's down here in Florida that Ponce de Leon comes searching for the fountain of youth. He never did find it. But I came down here and I found it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, do you believe that? I know it's true. Hallelujah. I found it. Praise God. I got it tonight, didn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. I could tell you some things tonight, but I better just stay on this one subject here. This thing's real, folks. This thing is real. Well, we've never seen what we're fixing to see. Now, God's been good to us and God's blessed us. But we've heard people talk about things, but we've never seen them. But we're fixing to see something we've never seen. The church world's never seen what they're going to see. Somebody say, Brother Pike, do you expect me to believe that? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. We're on the verge of seeing something the church world has never seen. The entire world's never seen it. It's going to be a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. All right, now. Enoch heard something, didn't he? That thing got a hold of him. What he heard, it got a hold of him. Amen. It got a hold of him. He heard something. As our Brother Andrew said tonight, he wasn't interested whether the preacher was too tall or too little or whatnot. He wasn't interested in how he acted, whether he had a dignitary or not. He heard something. He heard something. And what he heard done something to him. He heard the right thing. And it done something to him. You know what it done? It rearranged this up here. It rearranged this down here. You know, scientists say that you don't have the power to change your mind. How many know that? Somebody said, well, I change my mind when I want to. Scientists say you can't do that. Somebody says, if I don't want to come to Brother Dennis's tent, I'd shame might come anyway. So I just say you can't do that. A lot of times, why don't people come to the altar? A lot of people step back, they'll say, well, I didn't go to the altar because I didn't want to. No, that wasn't it at all. That wasn't it. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Spirit draw. That's what it was. Science is as long as you can't change your mind. Amen. Amen. So you can't do it. You say, but I sat back there, Brother Pike, and I just didn't want to come. But that wasn't it. The devil outsmarted you. He outtalked you. He had a hold on you when you left. That's right. You sit there and you say, well, I think I ought to go. I feel like it. And the devil say, I wouldn't go down there. You say, I ain't going. So finally you get up, you walk out, say, well, why didn't you go to the altar? I didn't want to. No, you didn't want to because the devil wouldn't let you. He wouldn't let you. He outtalked you. Sure, that's what it was. Now you just think in your mind a few minutes. If I put $500,000 down here tonight, wouldn't you come and get it? Come on now. The devil will say, this is your night to go to the altar. That's right. And you know the side of the altar you'd go to? The side the $500,000 was on. That's right. You understand what I'm saying? How many of you know the plan of the devil in the garden was to get eternal life? How many of you know the reason God put Adam out of the garden was to keep him from having eternal life? Why did he do that? How many of you know that in the book of Revelation, the one thing that God is going to do is let us do what he didn't let Adam do? The Bible said the tree of life will be on either side of the river, and he's going to let us eat from the tree of life. That's the thing he wouldn't let Adam do. He said, if Adam ever does that, he'll live forever. Amen. Amen. You know what it was? The devil had a cunning scheme. He figured if I can get to Adam and Eve, and if I could ever get on the inside of them, and take them away from God, and then get them to the tree of life, I'll have me a real setup. I'll have me something that nobody can ever turn down, even God himself. Did you know that after the devil got into Adam's heart, if the devil could have got Adam to take of that tree of life, he would have lived forever and he would have had eternal life? And did you know that even God himself could not have overthrown Adam? How do you know that's true? That's right. Because God can't break his word. And he doesn't give his word. Amen, that's right. And there's a little script, if you're reading that, reads like this. The Lord turned, perhaps talking to the angels. I don't know who he's talking to, but he turned around. He was talking. He said, now, lest man put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life, and live forever. That's all he said. That scripture was always confusing me. It didn't make sense. Just a little line of scripture. I thought, Lord, what are you talking about? But one day God said to me, he said, I said, now, lest man put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life, and live forever. In other words, he said, get him out of the garden. Let's get him out of here. The devil will cause him to partake of the tree and live forever. He said, now let's do that. Get him out of here. Is that right? He got him out of there. Now listen, Adam did not have eternal life. How many know that? See, he didn't have eternal life. Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah glory. Now, he could have lived eternally. Is that right? But he did not have eternal life. The very fact that God wanted to drive him out of the garden proved he didn't have eternal life. Because if he had eternal life, it would have done any good to drive him out of the garden. But he said, lest man take of the tree of life and live forever. Which proved he couldn't have had it. All right, now, that same Adam, he did not have what the second man, Adam, got a hold of. Come on now. Folks, I'm telling you something tonight if you can hear it. I'm telling you something to do you good. Something that you've been searching for. Something that your minister's been wanting. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because I spent over 20 years looking for it. And one day God showed it to me. And it's what every minister looks for. Now listen. Adam didn't have it. But one day, here come the Son of God. Amen. Somebody said, what do you mean? How do you know that Adam was the Son of God? Somebody said Adam was a Son of God. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. Amen. And when he speaks of Jesus, he called Jesus the Son of God. Is that right? But it also calls him the second man Adam. Is that right? The second man Adam came. Jesus. But I want you to see the difference. This second man Adam, God never breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and just left him that way. He never said to him, he's become a living soul. But he said, Adam, out of the dust I made thee. From the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. Is that right? I brought you out of the dust. Now I'm going to lay you back down in that. Ooh, I tell you what, I wish you could understand what I'm saying. Glory to God. You see it, didn't you? Hallelujah. 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 He even hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit's saying. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I hope you didn't miss that. For out of the dust you come. And he said, to the dust you'll go again. Now listen. As in Adam, all die. Is that Bible? Come on, Bible scholars. So that in Adam, all die. Who do you belong to tonight? Adam. Adam. The father of death. The beginning of sorrows. The hand of troubles. Eve, the mother of woes, sorrows and heartaches, from the dust thou camest, so then Christ, all is made alive. Now listen, Adam was in the presence of the Shekinah, but there came a voice that was the voice of a stranger. Amen. And that voice was a satanic voice. And it came down through the echo chambers of the weaker vessel. And it was enticing. Well, the Bible said a man is first enticed. After that he's enticed. Just listen to that woman and you'll be in trouble. Come on now, you sisters, don't get upset at me. Amen. Just listen to that woman and she'll sure lead you into a bed of lust and love. That's all she cares for. Amen, because she's of this world. Amen. You can say amen on me. Did you know in every murder, every robbery, everything that's ever taken place, there's always a woman involved. Check up and see. Money and women, sure. Amen. Somebody said, you're a woman hater. I knew you was like that Paul Apostle start with. No, I don't hate women. I wasn't a married one. My mother's a woman. Amen. I don't feel that way at all. You misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But did you know that God put a woman here and made the woman weak and she can't help it? You know why he did that? Because the woman made the mess in the garden. Somebody said, I think the man was just as much to blame as the woman was. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible said the man was not in the transgression. But he said, the woman being in the transgression. Amen. And she ought to listen to that husband, obey him. Why? Because that woman's a type of the church. Christ is a type of the head. It wasn't Jesus that was in the transgression. It was the church. That's the one that did it. Amen. God made the woman, made her a weaker vessel, to show what kind of mess the man made out of Christian living. God made that woman to show what kind of mess the man had made out of the world. For who is that woman? The Bible said, come out from among and be a separate people. Is that right? Is that right? Who is that woman? It's that ugly flesh. You say ugly flesh. Paul said deceitful flesh. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. He said, corruptible flesh, we don't trust it at all, he said. Have no confidence in it. Who is that woman that made such a mess? It's you and you and you. Amen. That woman in your home that keeps causing you problems in your home, what does that represent? That represents you. You. You that are supposed to be the church. Supposed to be God's wife. In the mess you're causing, is that right? Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. You know the Lord say amen. Glory to God. I'm feeling better. Amen. I'm feeling better. Praise God. Love the Lord. All right, listen. Who caused that problem? You know what? On the inside of you, there's a Christ man. Paul said the inner man and the outer man. You going to be spiritual now? He said on the inside, there's a man. I travail till Christ be formed within you. The inner man. And there's a continual warfare, he said, between the wife and the husband. Who is that? The inner man's Christ the husband. Is that right? The outer man is that woman. That's right. See, there's a continual warfare. You know why? That outer woman don't want to lose her figure. She don't want to bear no children. She don't want to travail. She don't want to do that. She don't want to wash greasy pots and pans. Amen. You know what she wants to do? She wants to be a Jezebel. She wants to paint her lips. She wants to get her dresses up above her knees. She wants to get on form-fitting clothes. She wants to look cute so the boys will whisper. Come on, say amen. Say amen. No dishpan hands. Amen. Let somebody else be Cinderella. I'm looking for Prince Charming, but I don't want to be Cinderella. But you remember Cinderella was the one that got it. I preached you a while back the reason, because the little glass slipper wouldn't fit nobody else's foot. How many of those shoes are preparation of the gospel? Amen. Used to talk about the devil having a hypocrite shoe. Said, be careful, don't let him slip it on you. I know a Prince Charming that's got a little glass slipper. You know, slipper means preparation of the soul. That's where your soul's at. Amen. All right? This little glass slipper won't fit anybody. Amen. You got to have the right preparation. In the Old Testament, back over there, when they couldn't redeem that thing, when Ruth came back, you remember near kinsmen couldn't do it? Had to set down at the gate and loose that shoe. You know why? Had 10 witnesses out there for them 10 commandments, the law. That's right. Had to loose that shoe to show that it was called the house of the loose shoe. You know what that means? Without preparation to God, those 10 elders that sat in the gates, the door being Jesus. How do you know the shepherds used to have to sit right in the gateway? Keep the wolf out. Is that right? Them 10 elders sat there. The 10 commandments, the 10 laws. Is that right? Sitting there as a witness, saying we are proof that you never fulfill the law. You don't have the love of God. Gotta have the Spirit of Christ that fulfills the law. You're the house of the loose shoe. You're undone. Amen. The little glass slipper wouldn't fit. Hallelujah. You know what it is? Now listen. As in Adam, all die. All die, my brother. As in Adam, all die. That woman sinned against God. Now listen. The woman sinned against God. If you're the woman tonight, you're in trouble. Because the woman had the mind of the beast. The woman loved hamburgers and hot dogs, frolic and lipstick, frolic around the world. Come on now. Like new Cadillacs. Amen. Fine furniture. Lot of education. Amen. Somebody say, oh, me or something. Hallelujah. What is it? She's got the mind of the beast. Amen. Amen. It's right. If that husband don't work the way she wants him to, she'll get her another one. If he can't educate them children with hot dogs and books, she'll get somebody that can. Amen.
Amen. As far as she's concerned, he's a rascal. Is that right? Hallelujah. If you ever start talking about God, he sure is a rascal. Amen. If you ever says, honey, we're going to have to go on about a 10-day fast. You're going to have to sleep on the floor for 6 months. But I tell you, he's done lost his prestige. Amen. She thought he was a hero. As long as he had them hot dogs coming in, he only had money in the bank. Nice automobile and everybody saying, Rabbi, Rabbi. She sure wanted to be married to him. But when he got down to being a prophet, had to sleep on the floor. Amen. Had to pray and fast. And Paul said, often in hungers, often in fasting, often in all of these things. And she decided he was a rascal. Amen. You know, a lot of preachers have lost their wives. I don't know whether you know that or not. But it's dangerous to become a preacher. You're liable to be wifeless. Can't ever tell. Amen. You love the Lord? For the Bible said that in Adam, all die. All die. But in Christ, all is made alive. All is made alive. Now listen. That woman, she went over there. She got a hold to the wrong tree. Is that right? Amen. Adam was interested in the tree of life. But that woman was curious. Come on now. Somebody said, curiosity is what killed a cat. A lot of times, curiosity has got a good dog or cat killed. Got some other things killed, too. I think Denny picked up a fellow out here had about 5 or 6 slugs in him. Well, he might have, well, he's talking about cats. You know, they call people cats, too. You ever heard him say she's a cat? Well, they do act like one sometimes. But I want you to get it now. Curiosity. What was it? God said, Eve, can't you just take my word for it? Now listen. Can't you just take my word? Can't you take my word? You don't need any mini skirts. Everybody don't have to look at your legs, Eve. Come on. You don't have to go down to the beauty parlor, Eve. Why don't you just fix your hair simple at home? Come on. You don't need to go down to Egypt so they can embalm you like they do the dead by putting lipstick and powder on you. Amen. You're going to go to the cemetery soon enough anyway. Hey, have you ever thought about this? You know how the women used to do their hair? They plaited it up. Some of the ladies that had long enough, you know, plaited it up and curled it up here. Take the big pins and stick in it. You know what that was? It symbolized the crucifixion of Jesus. They planted the crown of thorns and they stuck them in. If you don't believe God knows what he's doing, just listen. God knows everything, don't he? Everything in the earth, the foolish, the abased things of the world, God has chosen them to confound the wise. You ever notice a woman painting them nails? Toenails? Nails? You know why? Because the nails that went into the feet and hand was real bloody, wasn't it? Wasn't he? What is it? Said back in the Old Testament back there, God couldn't keep them from worshiping calves. Said, come on, Aaron, build us the golden calf. Give us a miniskirt. Amen. $1 million legs, they called it. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know what kind of calf I'm talking about. Got to worship the calves. Amen. What is it? The woman got the wrong mind. Got a hold of the beast mind. Is that right? All right, listen. Got a hold of the beast mind. Led her astray, didn't it? Who was that woman? Who was she? You know, these men folk like it when you talk about the women, don't they? But when you get the thing converted, they find out the truth. They're not too interested in it. That flesh, that's the woman. What is she doing? She's rebelling against that husband on the inside. That husband, that Christ that keeps calling on the inside for surrender. That inner Jesus that keeps saying to that outer man, surrender, surrender. Paul said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. fast and pray and speak of God. Come on, folks. Amen. Calling for surrender. Calling for surrender. On the inside, something's talking to you. Hallelujah, I'm feeling better. Praise God. On the inside, Ed, something calling for surrender. Trying to get that outer flesh to surrender. Calling for surrender. But the old man's in rebellion, Toby. He don't let go. He don't let go. He said, what am I going to do about my little booze? I can't shoot dice with the boys no more. Somebody said, I don't know what you're talking about, Brother Pike. Well, I want to educate you. Listen now. I know about them things. Can't go down and shoot dice anymore. Can't take my nickels and throw the crack anymore. Can't watch my television program anymore a lot. Gotta get some naked women off the wall. The calendar's up there. Come on, it's gonna get tighter than that. Amen. You think that's tight? We ain't got tight yet. Amen. Have to take the sins and love box catalog and throw it in the garbage. I said it's gonna get tighter than that. Don't somebody sit down, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that just because Sears and Roebuck's has got 9,000 women that they strip off nude and put them in a magazine, and 9,000 men that they do the same thing to, and then give it to me that I can't sit down like a decent person and look at them without going to hell? No. Hallelujah. A naked person is a naked person. I don't care if they're on the billboard or in the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Is that right? My brother, a dead man's a dead man. It don't make no difference whether you take him to your house or the funeral home. He's still dead. And if you don't believe he's dead, give him a few days and you'll get the idea. I said, just leave him laying around. That's the way some church members are. If you don't think they're dead, just let them stay around a few days. You'll get the idea. You love the Lord? What is it? It's the woman. Causing a lot of trouble. Causing a lot of trouble. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're sure helping me. I've always blamed that woman for that. Adam did too. The Lord does too. Your wife does too. I said, your wife does too. I said, your wife does too. Amen. Say, ain't you got something wrong here, Brother Pike? No. No, that's the way it runs. What is it? That outside man has got to die. He's got to surrender. He's got to yield up the ghost. He's got to let Christ take over. They sang the song, give up and let Jesus take over. He's got to give up, brother. He's got to give up so that the inner man can take over. That's right. That wife has got to surrender. Now, you know what a miserable home is when the wife said, well, I think this thing's a 50-50 deal. I'll tell you what, if you can find anywhere in the scripture where marriage is a 50-50 deal, I want you to bring it to me and read it to me. If you'll show me any place in the Bible where marriage is a 50-50 deal, I want you to come read it to me. I never found that. That's not Bible. That don't have the revelation. It can't be a 50-50 deal. Christ Jesus is the head of the church. And God don't work no 50-50 deals. That woman's supposed to conform to the man. Amen. Praise God. That sounds good, don't it, fellas? You know what? Some wino, some gambler, some drunkard, some cheat, some man that wants to beat his wife, knock around. He'll say, hallelujah. Been knocking around for years trying to get her to see that. You just wait. One of these days, God's going to bust your hide in hell. You just wait. Boy, if it's something I don't like, it's a man that beats a woman. Amen. I never found no place where a man ought to hit a woman. Come on, you coward. If you're in here, you better hear me. Because you're just exactly what I'm calling you. Somebody say, you're taking a shortcut to the graveyard. Well, I've worked at the funeral home. I've been that close to anyway. Amen. I was over in Grand Cayman Island over about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was praying, talking to God. God had me up in the wee hours of the morning. I was talking to Jesus. And I tell you, it's a deadly place in some of them places over there because the ships come in right there, right where we was at. Wild place. Wild music. All kind of things through the night. Over in the morning, I heard a scream. Come up a little old dirt road. It's about all they got there. Coming up that little old dirt road, I heard a woman pleading and begging for mercy. I could tell that somebody seemed to have her by the hair of the head, dragging up the last shoes of pleading. And I'll tell you, I just can't stand things like that. I got out of that house and I went out there looking for him. I know that's a foolish thing to do, but I did it anyhow. I got out there and I run face to face with a black man. He's a big, tall fella. Boy, he looked like he was mean. And I said, what in the world are you doing? He looked at me kind of funny like he thought I was crazy. I said, what are you doing to that woman? He looked at me so mean. He looked like he'd like to do the same thing to me. And I believe if I hadn't had God, he would. He took 2 or 3 looks at me, and I knew that he wasn't playing. Well, in the middle of the morning, nobody helped me. Somebody said, can't you call the police? I don't know whether he even had any or not. And there he was looking back at me. I said, now look. I said, you let that woman alone. I said, don't you go beating and dragging that woman around. He didn't know whether he liked what I said or not. He looked like he had to think it over a while. He stood there and while he was thinking, I was praying. Amen. It's like Brother James Foster out in California. I don't know whether Brother knows him or not. And big fella, you know, Jay. Big fella run up and grabbed James. Like that in the collar, you know. He went over to tell him to leave his wife alone. Quit interfering with her coming to church. So when the man opened the door, a big hand come through, and a great big Indian fella caught him like that. Didn't give him a chance to say nothing. Brother Foster said, finally got out just a little something. The man turned loose. Said, say what you got to say. He said, help! Hallelujah. That's just about the position I was in. But anyway, I kept praying. I took control of that spirit, and that thing broke. And when that spirit broke, the man just melted like a candle. He stood there and talked with me with decency. He turned the woman loose and let her go. But let me tell you, folks, don't beat your wife. That's evil. That's mean. You say, you just ain't got the kind of wife I got. All wives are alike. A woman's a woman. I don't care where she comes from. Amen. She's as sweet as honey and she's as bitter as a bitterweed. Sometimes she can put her arms around you and draw you up close and kiss you and you're the grandest thing in the world. The next minute she can have her fingernails clawing the blood out saying, I hate you. I wish I'd never seen you. Come on then. Somebody said, you must have known more about my wife than I thought. I do because I got one. But I tell you what, the Bible says if you get a wife, you got a good thing. Amen. They're just weak. They don't mean to be like that. But the devil gets a hold of them. You say, well, that's what happened to me. I don't mean to be like that, Brother Pike. But the devil gets a hold of me. But you ain't supposed to let him get a hold of you. You're supposed to be the head. You're supposed to be strong. God let that woman get by with more than you get by with. Now listen, sisters. Don't you take that for an occasion for maliciousness, the cloak of maliciousness. Don't you think God's going to let you get by because you pitch a temper fit? I don't mean that God will bust your hide for that. God don't give you no right to pitch no temper fit. But I'm saying when you do get weary and your nerves crack on, you can't go any further trying to live with that husband you got. God will bear with you. But husbands, don't do that. You understand what I'm saying? The woman is what caused the trouble. And when you beat that little woman, then you're acting like the woman. Is that right? You're showing yourself weak. You're showing yourself weak. The devil's overpowered you. Now he's leading you astray. That makes you the woman. I'm going to show you in a few minutes why you ought not to do it. The Bible said in the 12th chapter of Revelation, that woman was caught up. Is that right? She was in heaven. But there came a time when she had to go into the wilderness. Is that right? And the man child was caught up higher. Is that right? The woman, being the weakness of the flesh, if you are reasoning instead of believing, then you don't have the mind of Christ. You haven't been partaking of the tree of life. There's a mind of reason, a mind of the beast, a mind that loves frolic, that loves the world. Then there's a mind of Christ. The Bible said to be heavenly minded. We have treasures in heaven. Is that right? Where thieves don't break through and steal. Where moths don't corrupt. Where your treasures are, he said, your heart will be there. In heaven. Keep your conversation in heaven. Is that right? Get away from the guys that drink booze. Get away from the old game. Be a new creature in Christ. Wife, get away from the television shows. The petting parties. Get away from them. Be something of God. Come out from the world. Be a separate people. The Bible said, touch not the unclean things. I receive, saith the Lord. You say, well, my preacher says it's all right. Well, get rid of him too. Amen. He's just an old devilish serpent seed anyway. If he does that, get rid of him. We're not seeds of the serpent. We're seeds of God. We're sons of God. Amen. What are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean, we're going to live forever. Not die. In Adam, all die. But Christ always made alive. Is that right? I want to live. I want to stay alive. I don't want to die. I don't want to go back to the dust. I'm not made out of the dust. Come on. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're made out of that dirt. No. No. Amen. Somebody said, well, wasn't you born of Adam? No. Well, what are you born of? I'm born of God. Amen. That old man that I used to be, that old dust, amen. They nailed him to Calvary. Amen. Amen. The Bible said I was made his righteousness. He was made my sin. He changed places with me, Ed. He died for my sins. I live for his goodness. Amen. That old flesh of Adam, they took and buried it. Somebody buried it down in the water in Jesus' name. How do you know in the Navy the water's a grave? Put it down in the grave. They had a funeral. They left him there. I never went back to see where he's there or not. I don't care where he's there at all or not. Amen. Do whatever they want to with him. You say, who are you tonight? I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh tonight. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ, members in particular. The Bible said bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. Does that make a difference? Amen. In the first Adam all die. But when your bone is bone, flesh is flesh, all live. How long? Eternally. 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 I've been born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. Amen. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, born of the Spirit. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that's good make-believing. That's in your head, not in my heart. Brother, I'm not making believing. Amen. Somebody said, you mean you're really and truly? I'm really and truly. No kidding about it. You mean you really believe you are? I sure enough do. I really believe I am. You mean you believe you're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? That's what he said. Amen. God said I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, that I pass from death unto life. I've got eternal life. Going to live forever. Somebody said you're going to be mighty disappointed if you believe that. There ain't no way. Jesus said if you believe it, you can have it. Amen. Says the man thinking in his heart, so he is. Enoch believed that. Look what happened to him. Amen. God caught him away. Amen. How do you understand what I'm saying? If you ever get eternal life, you got to believe. If you ever pass from death to life, you got to believe. Somebody said, I can't do it, Brother Pike. That doesn't make any difference. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it. But old Robert said one time that some people are just too lazy to believe. They're too lazy. It requires too much effort. A lot easier to drink a bottle of booze. A lot easier on the flesh to watch television. But you've got to believe. Got to believe God. Got to be stirred up. Is that right? You got to believe. Enoch believed that he might not see death. And the Bible said by faith, that he was translated that he should not see death. What good is faith? Faith by the hearing of what? By what I'm telling you. You got to hear something. You got to hear what I'm telling you. The Word. God is the Word. In the beginning was God the Word. God's still God the Word today. In the beginning when God the Word came, they that believed that things happened. Today, God the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, God the Word to every generation unchanged. If you believe God the Word today, something will happen. They believe God the Word back there, something happened. You believe God the Word now, something happens. Faith in the Word. Paul said the Jews didn't believe the Word. Had the Word, it didn't profit them. That old book lays on the shelf, dusty and dirty. But it's the Word of God. The Word that spoke the heavens into existence. The Word of God that created you. The Word that said, let there be, and there was. The Word that said, light, light came. Amen. That same Word tonight speaking to you. You say, how could that be? Because the Bible said it shall not be the minister that speaks, but it shall be God that speaks to you. They shall all be taught of God. Is that right? It's the Word. The Word. If you can believe the Word, what does the Word say? That I have passed from death unto life. In Adam all die, but I'm not a descendant of Adam. I've been born to the Son of God, and the Son of God is not in the presence of the Shekinah, but the Son of God is born of the Shekinah. I said he's born of the Shekinah. Adam was in the presence of it. The beast mind could lead him away, but the Son of God was born of the Shekinah. Adam didn't have eternal life, he just had access to it. My brother, I don't have access to it. I got it. I found the fountain of youth. I found the resurrection from the dead. Amen. I passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says so. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. A lot of things I'd like to say to you tonight. Takes so long to explain it. But I hope during the process of our teaching tonight, there's been something said that might help you. Something that might make you want to go on with Jesus. Have a greater outlook. Take my words tonight. Listen to them. Believe them. You'll be a champion as David was. When the giant of opposition comes up, just drop the word in that little slang of faith and faith and whirl it around a few times. Take that little slingshot of faith and drop that little stone that will shoot out of the mountain with it. Whirl around a few times and get your mark just right. And the giant of opposition will go down. Amen. You ever notice that little rock struck him in the head? That's where the trouble is. It's that educational mind of reasoning. Got to hit it in the right place. Is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Amen. So he bruised his head. Is that right? David bruised his head, didn't he? Every time you start preaching this gospel, that little slang of faith, you get that word in it. The first thing you do, Ed, you hit that old head. Amen. Slinging out there and you'll feel that old head come back at you. Amen. It strikes him right here in the head. Because that's where the giant of opposition is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. John lost his head, didn't he? You know why? That was the end of the Adam race. The law and the prophets were till then. Doesn't been on the old beast head. It's time to take it to the chop block. Amen? He that is least in this body of memberships greater than John was. Abraham wasn't no greater than John. Nobody in the law of Moses wasn't no greater than John. No one. But the Bible said the very least of these sons of God, their bone is bone, flesh is flesh, they're in the kingdom, they're greater than John. Amen. Time to take it to the chop block. Are you willing to go to the chop block tonight? Amen. You willing to go to the chop block? All you got to do is lose your head tonight. Just be willing. That old John lost his head, that ended that Adam race. Took on a new head, Jesus Christ. A new mind had come on the scene. A new head come on the scene. Amen. Is that right? That woman probably lost her head. Why did Israel die out of the presence of God? Why has she been out of the presence of God all these many years? She killed her head, which was Jesus. Is that right? When you kill the head, the body dies. They kill the head. The head don't return until Revelation 19. So they stay dead until that time. Is that right? Woman, you keep killing your head. Keep jumping on your husband. Keep killing him out. That's why you won't have no head. That's right. Amen. Let this old flesh keep growing against that head on the inside. That's why you killed out. It won't be there no more, Brother Andrews. Got to give in to it. Is that right? Honor, reverence, obey it. All things the Bible says. Is that right? The Jews rejected the head, become the scapegoat of Moses that went away in the wilderness. Is that right? Is that right? But there came a Christ. There came a Christ. We are spiritual Jews tonight. The spiritual Jews didn't reject their head. They said, Christ is our head. The natural Jews rejected their natural head, Jesus. But the spiritual Jew didn't reject the spiritual Christ, did he? Said, we receive our head. Tonight we stand because we received our head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel him talking to me right now, don't you? I feel my head telling me something right now. You ever stop to listen to him? Reverence him, honor him, obey him. Hallelujah. You won't have dishpan hands all the time. You just be God's Cinderella till you can find the little glass slipper. I guarantee you, you won't have no more dishpan hands. Hallelujah. He's got a place called glory. Amen. He's got mansions and palaces of ivory. You just admire the world and go on with your dishpan hands. My land, some of these days you're going to be the prettiest thing that ever walked the streets. You're going to be lovely, altogether lovely. The Bible said one of you is going to outshine the noonday sun. The sunshine is going to quit shining. In that world, it'll never shine anymore. You'll be so bright, it'll feel disgrace if it even comes around. You'll be so much brighter than it is, it'll never show its face anymore. Amen. This Bible. One Son of God. Hallelujah. That woman caught the trouble, didn't she? You love the Lord? Praise God. Give me just a little swallow of that water. I want to sing a little chorus with you. I love you tonight. You've been a good audience to bear with me. Getting started late like I did. Let's just lift our hands and our heads tonight. I wrote a song concerning the black man. I wish my daughter and them could have sang. It was of my childhood. Let's sing this little chorus together. We sang it last night, pass me not, O gentle Savior. You know, I don't want him to pass me by to you. I don't want him to overlook me, Ed. I want him to have mercy on me. Be sweet and loving and kind. Let your cup run over. The Bible said the merciful shall obtain mercy. If somebody else, if they're mean to you, don't be mean back. If they mistreat you, don't mistreat them back. If they try to be haughty and high-minded and lifted up, you just drop your head in sweet humility and say, I'm just passing through the land of Esau. My treasures is over on the other side. Amen. I'm passing through the land of Esau. My treasures is on the other side. Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight? Don't you love him tonight? Let's sing it together. Give me another key, sister.